welcome to God Calling Vocation Vibes, conversations with the little sisters of the poor and with our friends. And we have two of our friends as guests today. So my name is Sister Carolyn, and I am a member of the International Religious Congregation of Little Sisters of the Poor. We have homes for the elderly poor on five continents, over 30 countries where we serve, and we serve in many homes across the United States as well. And so it is our joy to serve the elderly poor as our special apostolate, the special love of our hearts. That is the mission that has been given to us in the church. And our guests are Katie.
I currently live in Kansas City, and I am going to school here. And I study biology. I hope to someday work in healthcare, maybe even with the elderly. And I come from a big family, and I'm very social, and I love to be around people. And my favorite thing to do is just talk. Love it.
And the elderly love that. And Michaela.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michaela. I'm a recent college graduate. I just graduated in May. And I'm a registered nurse. I took my boards over the summer, and thank God I passed. So now I'm actually working for the Little Sisters as a nurse. I'm originally from just outside of Boston, but I'm living in Rhode Island right now. I've known the Little Sisters for 8 years. It was just 8 years the other day, actually.
Thank you, Michaela. And so what we want to focus on today is service. And service is a part of consecrated religious life among the many vocations of the church. It's actually a part of being a good Christian parent. It's part of being any consecrated person, a diocesan priest, a male or female religious. But during the month of March every year, from the 8th to the 14th, we celebrate Catholic Sisters Week. That is actually, it started out as National Catholic Sisters Week, but now it's all over the world. And so we are highlighting Catholic Sisters Week and the concept of serving with sisters. And that's the topic of today's episode. And we Little Sisters have a service program called Spring Into Service. So we're going to talk some about that. And then Katie and Michaela are going to share their experiences. So Katie, would you like to tell folks a little bit about the Spring Into Service program itself?
Yes, of course. So Spring Into Service is, it means exactly what it's called. You're springing into service. But kind of like more details with that is, for it could be as little as a few days or a week, all the way up to over 6 weeks, however long you and the sisters agree to work with each other. But it's for any young woman open to service with the elderly, poor. For however long you decide that you want the program to be, you live with the Little Sisters of the Poor in one of their homes, and every day you work with them, and you have a lot of freedom in kind of like what activities or what fields, what areas of the work that needs to be done in the home, what you participate in. And you also take part in the spiritual activities and enrichment that the sisters do. So like daily prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, and daily mass. And there's also plenty of opportunities to go on outings with the residents and the sisters as they are planned. And there's also a lot of free time as well to explore kind of the city you're in, or just to like rest and recollect. And so this is a program that I actually did. I did it last summer, so summer 23, for about 6 weeks exactly. And I was in Chicago in Lincoln Park at St. Mary's Home.
Katie, and so the program, it is open to any single Catholic woman who desires to serve. Many of the women who do come and do the program are discerning their vocation. That may be discerning religious life. It may be broader. It may be just discerning their vocation. You don't need to be discerning to become a little sister of the poor, although some are, but just openness for God to show you and help you grow through this experience so he can broaden your heart and help you to see and sense and understand the direction that he's calling calling you to for your life path. And every Christian, of course, is called to be a missionary disciple. So we're all called to share our gifts. And the Spring into Service program offers a wonderful opportunity to do that. Some college women even take a semester off or a gap year. So as Katie said, the program can be very adaptable to the goals of the young woman. And if the service is for 6 weeks or longer, there is also a modest paycheck offered. We do cover the room and board for the participant, but also that paycheck. We know that college students have their expenses to meet and loans and so forth. So hopefully that's a little help for them as they come to serve, but hopefully also what they receive from our residents and from working and serving along sisters is even more valuable to them in their life with the Lord and in their pathway toward their future. Michaela, what else would you like to offer about service?
Yes, service or maybe sisters. I'll talk a little bit about myself. So I never did like the formal Spring into Service program, but like I said, I've known the Little Sisters for 8 years. I met them as a freshman in high school. I was 14 years old and I had to do, I think it was like 20 community service hours for school. And to make a very long story short, I had no intention of doing those hours. You know, like it was kind of the trend at our school that the kids would, like the older kids, you know, would just forge the slip, you know, that we had to turn in saying where we did our hours and the contact info of the person who kind of supervised us. And so I remember the older kids telling me, oh, you know, like you don't actually have to do that. Nobody checks the paper. Just, you know, just forge something on the paper and, you know, turn it in. So I guess, I don't know. I guess that's kind of what I was going to do. Just kind of follow the crowd. I hate to admit it now, you know, but, my mom found out about it and she started to get on my case and, you know, kept periodically asking me, you know, what are you going to do for your service? What are you going to do for your service? And I was like, oh, don't worry, mom. You know, I'll figure it out. Don't worry. I got plenty of time. The hours weren't due until it was like March. So I had, you know, several months because this was back in the fall. And I said, don't worry, I'll do it, I'll do it. And then, you know, the holiday season came, so it got very busy. And then January came along and my mother said, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you can't just do 20 hours overnight. You got to figure something out. I said, Ma, don't worry, I'll figure it out. And she said, you know, if you don't figure something out by the end of the week, I'm calling the Little Sisters in Somerville. We used to have a home in Massachusetts, in Somerville, Massachusetts, the Little Sisters. So that was the home that I originally met the sisters. So she said, I'm calling the Little Sisters in Somerville and I'm going to send you there for a week. So I said, yeah, okay. And really, I didn't believe her. So anyways, the end of the week came. I hadn't made any plans. And so she picked up the phone and she called the Little Sisters in Somerville and she signed me up to volunteer for that a week. And it was during my week off from school, my February vacation. And I remember being so mad because, you know, like that's the week that you're supposed to be hanging out with your friends, relaxing, taking a break from school. And all of a sudden my whole February vacation was booked. So really it was supposed to be a punishment, which now I look back on and laugh because it was the very, you know, furthest thing from a punishment. I remember, you know, going to the home and I just like instantly fell in love. I don't know how else to describe it. I instantly fell in love, instantly fell at home. You know, I had never been around elderly people in my entire life. I grew up without my grandparents. Both my grandfathers died before I was born and both my grandmothers died when I was very young before, you know, I don't remember either of them. And so I didn't have any other elderly family in my community really that was elderly. So being with the elderly was completely foreign to me, totally, completely foreign. But like I said, like I just fell in love. Everything just felt like right, if that makes sense. I don't quite know how to describe it. But, you know, I felt like I had known these people for years. They were so welcoming, the residents, of course, but even, you know, the staff at the home, the volunteers. It really just, there's such a family spirit that reigns in each one of the Little Sisters' homes. And it's like this tangible spirit. And really, you have to experience it for yourself to really know what I'm talking about. But I fell in love. And long story short, I never left. And, you know, here I am 8 years later working for the Little Sisters as a nurse. So yeah, that's a little bit of my background. But yeah, it's just it's been an amazing experience these past 8 years.
Thank you, Michaela. So, Katie did the Spring into Service program, the formal Spring into Service. Most young women do it in the summer, like 6, 8 weeks, something like that. But as we mentioned, it's very flexible. It can be longer or shorter. And Michaela, she met us when she was quite young, went in kicking and screaming to volunteer, and found her heart at home. And sometimes that's how it is with service. Sometimes you go because you desire to serve. Sometimes you go because divine providence offers circumstances that lead you to service. And then after you engage in it, you discover the joy that it brings to one's heart. So I'm going to pause just to mention again that we are the God Calling Vocation Vibes podcast. And this is the Spring into Service episode. We can be reached at lspusapodcast@gmail.com. And I will be offering you the email address where you can write to get information on Spring into Service. And that is serenity@littlesistersofthepoor.org. serenity@littlesistersofthepoor.org. And Sister Constance, who organizes the program, will send you information, an application form, and so forth. The application deadline is April 1st. So we're going to hear more about it. Katie's going to tell us more about her Spring into Service program and the graces she received and how her heart grew during that time. And Michaela will probably chime in too from her vast experience volunteering with us. So Katie, please tell us more about your Spring into Service experience.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Sister Caroline. So I also actually want to mention about Spring into Service, that I've heard of a lot of women doing it over their, if they're still in school, over their school breaks. So like how Michaela, she didn't do Spring into Service, but she did her service experience for the first time over a school break. So that's also something to think about, like spring break, holiday break, that sort of thing. So my Spring into Service experience, yes, as I said before, it was just over this past summer, and I was there for 6 weeks in Chicago, and I mean, I loved it. It was amazing. There were definitely difficult times, but there were also just very joyful times, and at the end of it, I found myself not only kind of with a better sense of like professional development, like in a healthcare setting. I didn't like work directly with residents in a healthcare way, but like I could see it. And so, because I was constantly surrounded by the staff there, both on the administrative and the care side of the home. And so that was really great for like my education, but also I received a lot of spiritual formation directly and indirectly, directly from just like the sisters kind of helping me out from the sacraments, but also indirectly kind of just from different interactions that I didn't foresee or expect, that just like really taught me a lot, and maybe not in the moment, but would kind of come to light days, even months later. And so I want to start off with just like why I decided to do Spring into Service. And so last year I was in school, right? And it was almost spring. So it was like halfway through second semester. And I really wanted to do something that was like mission work over the summer. And I kind of wanted to be something more simple. I'd done mission work in the past where I like traveled to far places and worked with people like just very, very different from me, and did it for a lot longer than just a summer. But this time I just wanted something that was a little bit more simpler, but still like I would be directly helping people in need. And I had actually met the Little Sisters of the Poor a few years ago for another service opportunity I was doing. I actually kind of like I had no idea who they were, and I just ended up at their nursing home, one of their nursing homes in New York. because it was suggested to me by someone, and I noted who they were. I never heard of them, never really volunteered at a nursing home before, and I just kind of went, and I loved it so much. I loved it. It was the best couple of weeks of my life. It was great. Loved it so much. And so that kind of started coming back to me, like, oh, I remember this thing I did in 2020. I wonder, like, if I could do that again, but this summer and for longer. And so I was like looking at the Little Sisters of the Poor website, and I found their spring into service. And so I emailed them requesting information, and they promptly got back to me. And so I was like, great, here's an application. I'm gonna apply. So I did, and it was super simple. Got through the application process, and yeah, I was notified that there was a the home in Chicago was wanting a lady to come and do spring into service with them, and so I said yes, I'll go there. Great, Chicago sounds fun. And so I'd never been to Chicago before, so that was my first time. And so yeah, I got there, and I didn't really have any expectations. I honestly, like, I'm the type of person that just kind of likes to fly by the seat of my pants. I don't really think about things a lot before I do them, so I didn't really think about it a lot. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go do this and we'll see what happens. It's gonna be interesting. And it was. So it was kind of nice I didn't go in with expectations though, because then I had kind of a blank slate and I was really open to different experiences, different things. So yeah, I was welcomed by all the sisters there. It was very great. And yeah, that first day, I just kind of dove right into work. And what this work looked like was, well, I like to start off with every day was different. And also I was given a lot of freedom as well too on kind of like what my work would be. So I requested to work in the dining room, because the first time I had volunteered at the Little Sisters years ago, or a few years ago, I worked a lot like serving the residents food, and also just like accompanying them kind of like over meals together. So I wanted to do that again. So I requested to do that. So every day I would usually serve breakfast, and I would serve dinner, and then I would also usually I would serve supper too as well. Sometimes I'd have the evening off. It just depended. But and then in between all those times, that was the different part. Like, it was different every day. Sometimes there were sisters with special projects who needed help, and I would help out with their projects. Like, one of them was so the home, most of the nursing homes, correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Caroline, but they have like an apartment building as well, where more of like the autonomous residents who don't need as much like direct care live. And there was a resident in the apartment who was moving to another apartment, but in the same building. So she was just switching floors. And so I had the pleasure of helping her out, move all of her things out and into the next room. It was like a process that took a few weeks, because I can only like, do a little bit every day, and then I'd come back and then do a little bit more, but I loved it. The woman who lived in that apartment, she's very sweet, just like a wonderful lady, and it was really nice to just get to know her. And then also I would anytime, I don't know, I called them field trips, but like the outings that we would go on. There was one, at least one, maybe even sometimes even two, like outings that we would go on where several residents would come, and we'd even have volunteers and sisters come, and I would help load and unload on the bus, and help pack supplies, and kind of just like be there whenever we're at the whatever the destination is. At one point we went to one of the beaches on Lake Michigan. So that was very, very fun. It was Pushing wheelchairs on sand was actually a lot easier than I thought it would be. So that was a nice surprise, because I did not think it was gonna work, but I tried it and it did. So, but yeah, it was just very, a lot of the times though, like on slower afternoons when we weren't going out, or whenever there wasn't like a project I was helping with or a party. Oh my gosh, the Little Sisters love to party. I'm sure Michaela would agree. Like, they have a party for everything. And so, like, anything you can imagine, like, it's Pi Day, there's a party, like those things. And so lot of parties during my 6 weeks there, and so I'd help decorate, serve, that kind of thing. But yeah, whenever we weren't doing like anything in particular, a lot of my afternoons or in between meal times were spent just like one-on-one accompanying residents, which was honestly my favorite part. That was my favorite. And so I found a lot of strength in accompanying the residents through the little sisters, through working with the sisters, because I would really closely watch their example because I wanted to emulate whatever they did, because I didn't want to like mess up and do anything wrong. And so I watched how the sisters walked with the residents and how they treated the residents there, and I found that it was a very like compassionate care system. Of putting the resident first, and even over like your own tiredness, your own needs, your own, I don't know, hunger or thirst. Like if I was just like feeling hungry or thirsty, it's like, well, just gonna have to, wait till the next meal like everyone else, right? So, and although I'm not saying I was starved or anything, like no, we were I don't want to scare anyone. I was fed a lot. Like, yeah. I had to like sometimes just say no because I'm like, this is too much. yeah, I was very well fed, so thank you. But yeah, so it was just I really learned to like strive because and I say strive because I didn't always succeed at putting the resident first, but I did strive to put the resident first because I learned it first from the sisters. And I also like not only from the sisters, but a shout out to the staff as well at St. Mary's Home. They were all beautiful, like just all the nurses, the CNAs, like even like everyone in the admin, everyone's working in the dining room, everyone in the kitchen. Like people were just wonderful to the residents. And it was just very encouraging for me to see that example and to follow it. And so I would, yeah, like I said earlier, I would usually spend kind of more lazy afternoons, just one-on-one accompanying residents. I would visit them in their rooms. If it was nice, which this was in the summer, so it was usually pretty nice, we would maybe go sit outside or go walk around the block around the home, which was really fun. The home was in Lincoln Park, and it's a very nice area, so it was fun to walk around with them. Something that was really encouraging to me that I saw a lot of the staff and the sisters do was no matter, yeah, I guess like no matter what was happening around them or what they were feeling, they still always had time to be with a resident. And they always had the energy and they always had the compassion to meet a resident where they were at. And so through this example, I worked hard to always commit to having kind of special companionship time with the residents. Even though in the afternoons, those were usually when I was really tired and I just wanted to go take a nap and and some days I did, right? So like it was a very free environment, and I kind of made my own schedule. And yeah, if I had like a bad night of sleep the night before, like sometimes I would have to like go rest in the afternoons, so that for the rest of the day I could be more present for the residents. But other days, most days I would just really try to work hard at keeping this like companionship, this relationship up. Because I think what I saw with a lot of the residents at the home was they were just so lonely, right? So they're surrounded by people 24/7, nurses coming in 24 hours a day. And they're always with people, but they don't always have that personable connection with others. And a lot of them haven't seen their families in years. They don't have a family that regularly visits them. And so you kind of have to you kind of become their family in a way, and you try to visit them regularly and be with them and, look after their needs. But more importantly, just like listen to them, because they already have people looking after their needs, right? And meeting their like physical and material wants. But they don't always have a person there to listen to them, and to be receptive of their joys, their sorrows, and so I kind of tried to be that person for them. And I really want to stress that if it's important to if you're doing Spring into Service or really any mission work where you're working with like a vulnerable population and every day you're kind of taking in a lot of kind of like traumatizing information about these people, right? I think it's really important to be emotionally present in the moment, but not necessarily to carry all of this with you, right? And so like in the moment, support the resident who's maybe telling you about this very like tough situation or something that happened in their past that they still need to talk about and process, and be with them in that moment, but also know that and this took me like a while to learn. I didn't know this right when I got to the home, right? I kind of had to learn like, oh, I can't carry all of this information that I've been given with me throughout the day and dwell on it and think about it a lot, right? Because if I let these like what I'm being told and shared kind of stress me as they are stressing the residents, then I can't be there for the residents. So it's not it might be tempting to think that being somewhat emotionally unconnected just enough so that you're not personally kind of taking on all of these struggles. I was tempted to think like, oh, that's really selfish and I should be taking these on, but it's actually not, because what I'm doing is I'm saving my energy and my emotional capacity so that I can still be with them and not kind of burn out, right? You want to be very careful of burnout, especially I'm sure like Michaela, as a nurse, like burnout is very easy, especially when you're working in healthcare. And so, because you're not only serving the physical needs, but you're inevitably also serving a lot of the spiritual and emotional needs of the
That's
patient as well.
a great insight that you shared, and it's so true. But you still are a very caring person. So making sure to lift those struggles up to the Lord and not drag them along in your heart, but to lift the sufferings of the poor up to the Lord, you'll be better able to continue to accompany them in joy. And I am going to come back to you in a minute, Katie, and ask you to share one particular Jesus moment from your experience. And I'm going to ask Michaela what she has to add to all these beautiful insights that you've given us based on her service. Michaela?
So starting with the sisters, I remember, like when I first started at the home, and I just really like in awe of them, right? Especially as a young girl, right? Just so in awe because these sisters just went about their day with so much joy and serenity, and like you could tell they were like they had such deep peace in their hearts. And they treated these residents as if they were their own parents, grandparents, fill in the blank, whatever you want to say, family member. And that's one of the real beauties of the Little Sisters and their homes, is that these elderly residents that they take in, they become family to all of us, the sisters, the staff, the volunteers. It's one big family. So yeah, I just really remember being really moved, like in the depths of my heart, by these sisters and their witness and the joy. And I remember just thinking to myself, like I don't know, like what makes them so happy. I don't know why they're so at peace, but whatever it is, I want that. And throughout my time at the home, you know, like when I first started, I would be with the residents, but I would attend daily mass, like Katie said, you know, prayers with the sisters, the office. And it was really like through that I made like the conscious decision to claim the Catholic faith as my own. You know, like I was raised in a Catholic family, very good, devout Catholic parents. We went to church every Sunday. I went to Catholic school. When I first started with the sisters, like the faith was something that was mine just because like that's what I was raised with, if that makes sense. You know, like I never really had made that conscious decision that okay, like this is my faith. You know, I'm gonna go out of my way to practice this and live this every day. And so really I credit the sisters with that kind of that turning point in my faith life. And again, it was through their example, you know, that I came to make that decision and really just be so inspired by them for, you know, for years. They constantly, even now, they still continue to really, really challenge me, you know. And I find as like I grow older, they challenge me in different ways. So that's just a little something about the sisters. And really, I think it's such a blessing to, especially at such a young age, to have been able to serve like right alongside these sisters, and learn from them. You know, the when I first started, the sister who there was one floor that I was on very often. And this floor was, we call it like the skilled nursing. So these were where the really sick and infirm residents were. And the sister who had that unit, really, like she took me under her wing and she taught me so much and was just so loving and kind and patient, so patient with me. You know, like I was so young and never made me feel like I was like a burden, or because like I didn't know the first thing about healthcare or anything or serving the elderly. You know, like I said, I'd never been around the elderly, but this sister was just so patient and generous with me, and I just feel so grateful to her and all the sisters, really. I really feel that like so much of me today is made of what I learned from them, you know. And as for the residents and just serving them, I mean, I could go on forever about the years of, you know, different things that I've done. For the first, you know, couple of years, I was at the home like just as a volunteer. And so I would during the school year, because I was in high school, I would come on the weekends to volunteer. But then over the summer, I would be there at the home like every day, you know, pretty much. And like Katie said, every day was different. You know, there was never really like a set schedule. Every day was full of surprises. I had a lot of similar experiences to Katie, you know, a lot of like one-on-one time with the residents, visiting them in their rooms, which is so important, like Katie said. But then also time with, you know, a larger group of residents, whether it be potties, like Katie said, or activities. I used to go to a lot of the activities that we would have throughout the home. The meal services, you know, I was always in the dining room helping serve the residents. I feel that I really, in some ways, have had a really unique experience, because I met these residents at such a young age and have known the sisters, you know, for so long that, like, these residents and the sisters as well, like, they saw me grow up. You know, like, I can just think, like, off the top of my head right now, all the big kind of like milestones, if you will, in high school that I got to share with, you know, the residents, like, you know, I remember getting my driver's permit and then my driver's license. And I remember my junior and senior prom in high school. And actually before, I remember like before I went to the pictures with all the friends, I went to the home for both my junior and senior prom in my dress and everything so that the residents could see me too, you know, because like they were family and they knew my prom was coming up and they were so excited. And so like for me, it was a no-brainer. It was like, oh, of course I have to go to the home to see the residents, you know. Graduating high school, applying to college, going through college and becoming a nurse, passing my board. So it's just been such a gift to like share in these huge moments in my life with these residents. And kind of like on the contrary, like to share in a lot of moments in like the residents' life, like these are their final years. When the residents, typically when the sisters will take in a resident, they're kind of on the younger side, not always, but typically they are on the younger side and they need, less help. And like Katie said, there are apartments. And so a lot of times the residents will initially move into the apartment, like the independent living. And then as their needs progress, we have a continuum of care so they can remain with us until they die. And so to be able to know these residents for so long and, for example, to meet someone when they're independent and they move into the apartments and then maybe something happens, like maybe they have a stroke or maybe they have a really nasty fall. And then all of a sudden they need more help. And we're able, thank God, we're able to provide that help to them and to be able to walk with them through those crosses in their life, like these really significant moments in their life as well. And then ultimately, until they die, to be with them when they're, in their final weeks, days, hours. It's been like this tremendous grace to be able to share these big moments in my life with them and to have them be able to share the moments in their life with me. And I just like I just I'm just in love with them. I'm in love with the elderly. I really am. I don't know. I'm not good with words, but I just feel so grateful to God that I stumbled across the little sisters. And like I never in my wildest dreams could have imagined that, 8 years later, this is where I am, still, sharing life with them and the elderly residents. And it's just been a tremendous, tremendous grace. And I just really wish more people knew the beauty of giving your whole entire self to someone else, especially when that else is somebody who's very vulnerable, who can't necessarily repay you. Like there's really something about doing something for someone else when they can't repay you. And it's just, like we hear in the gospel, it was today's gospel. Whatever you do for the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you do for me. And to really like be in that mindset when you're with these residents, that like this is Christ right in front of you, and like you're caring for Christ himself, and like there's nothing that you do that's insignificant. Even when someone asks for a glass of water, like in your head you might not think twice about that, but like no, like even something like that, like you're giving a glass of water to Christ. You're satisfying his thirst. It gives me like the chills when I it's just so beautiful. And it's the little sisters live such a hidden life, a really like hidden humble life of service. And I find it really, really beautiful. And I'm just so grateful to be able to take part in that in some, whatever way, shape, or form it ends up being for that day. Because like Katie said, it's different every day.
That is so good. Thank you for sharing with us. And I am going to come back to you also for one last Jesus moment right before we close. But thank you so much for sharing. And yes, it is for Jesus himself, what we do for the elderly poor. And he himself said so. So we know that. And I'm going to give a little Jesus moment that I witnessed in Spring into Service. And then I'm going to ask Katie for hers and Michaela for hers. So a Jesus moment that I witnessed, we had a Spring into Service young woman in one of our homes who actually was not Catholic. She went to a Catholic university and she did service along with several other Spring into Service women. And one of her duties at Mass every day, she was to accompany a gentleman who was undocumented Hispanic. He couldn't speak at all. He was very infirm. He now couldn't move. He used to be a shepherd in the woods and in the hills, in the Midwest. And here he was with nobody and nothing and not able to even speak or scratch his nose or bat a fly away, nothing. And her task was to hold a cup of water for him at communion because the priest would give him communion and he was able to swallow that water. This young woman knelt during Mass because even though she didn't understand it, she knew there was something very sacred here, and she felt great awe in the presence of the Eucharist, and she felt immensely privileged to be able to hold that cup of water for this poor, poor man when Jesus was coming to him. And that was just such a beautiful moment for me to witness that every day. And then when her summer experience was over with and she went back to Notre Dame, actually, she came into the Catholic faith as a result of this man who couldn't preach the faith, who couldn't tell her anything, who couldn't even look up and say thank you. But God worked his grace through that interaction. So thank you, both of you, for showing us how accompaniment is what is so important. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, often says accompaniment of one another is so important, and the bonding between old and young and that mutual accompaniment, it's not just that we do for them, but what they do for us is so beautiful. And so I thank him for the gift that he's given us and all of our Spring into Service women. And I'm going to call on Katie for one Jesus moment that you can think of from your many memories. Katie?
Yes, awesome. Thank you. That was a beautiful story. So, I don't have just like one moment, but it's more like an accumulation of interactions that really, helped me kind of like, have a better, I don't know, awareness, I guess, of the body of Christ in particular. And it's like kind of what Michaela mentioned earlier, that like each person that she serves is Christ. And so it's like that with all of us. And so I was I just became very, while I was there, very aware that, oh, this resident, this person, she's Christ right now, right? Like I am feeding, I'm clothing, I'm comforting Christ through this resident. And that brought a lot of just like comfort to me, because sometimes it can be hard. Like you don't feel like you're interacting with Christ, like you don't feel like Christ is there, but Christ is always here. He's in the poor, he's in whoever needs you in the moment, right? And so that was just like a very simple way to encounter Christ multiple times on a daily basis. But not only was I kind of like serving Christ through these residents, but they were also, they could then serve Christ through me, because as I gave to them, they would also give to me, not in necessarily the same way that I would give to them, of course, but in their own unique way, right? And so then I could be someone that they could help, and that they could really show their love for Christ through, which is very, it's very important for them to have that opportunity of charity, as well as for me to have the opportunity through them as well. So it was a very like kind of a working together of working in the virtue of charity on both sides.
Thank you for bringing that up. And I would certainly encourage anybody who is interested in coming to one of the homes of the Little Sisters to look us up on littlesistersofthepoor.org and see where our locations are, and go to one of the homes and experience for yourself what Katie and Michaela have been speaking about. Michaela, your last Jesus moment you would like to share, or Jesus insight.
Let's see. There's a lot. It's amazing. It's really, it's a grace. There's so many. But I guess like, so kind of like Kate, well, it is one specific one, but also kind of like a bigger, story, if you will. So for me personally, my favorite part about the Little Sisters is they have a really a special ministry in caring for the dying. And when a resident in one of the homes is dying, and you know, we're able to really see that, okay, this person is actively dying. The Little Sisters take turns remaining with that resident. They take shifts and they sit with that resident 24/7 until that resident dies, so that he or she isn't alone. And I've been able to experience that. I can't tell you how many times, you know, now in the past 8 years. And for me, that's my favorite part about the Little Sisters and my favorite part about caring for the elderly. I absolutely love caring for the residents when they're dying and sitting with them and watching with them, as we call it. And I remember the first time I ever saw someone die. I was 16, and it was at the home in Somerville. And I remember, like, in that moment, I remember I started to cry, and it wasn't that, like, I was afraid, I wasn't scared. I remember, like, the tears just started coming down my face, because I was like, there was such deep peace in my heart. And it's something that's really beautiful to witness with the sisters. They make the moment, or the moment is sacred. You know, it's not the sisters that make that moment sacred, but they certainly, you know, with their presence, they certainly add to that moment. But there was one resident in particular that I can think of. This was probably about 4 years ago now. It was at our home in Somerville, Massachusetts. And she was dying. I wouldn't really say actively dying, but she definitely was really declining. And I remember, actually, we had three residents on that unit who were dying at the same time. Two were, like, really actively dying, and then there was this third resident who, you know, was definitely, she was getting close. And so I remember being up on the unit, and it was late at night. And I had, you know, we were kind of, like, just, like, bouncing back between these three residents, you know, checking in on them. And so I went into this resident's room after having checked on the other two, and I was kind of, like, standing in the doorway, and I just wanted to, like, take a quick look at her, really, just to, you know, make sure she looked okay, she looked comfortable. And then I was going to go back to one of the other residents' rooms. And she saw me in the doorway. She was in the bed, and she said, "Come here." And so I went over to her, I knelt down at the head of the bed, and I took her hand, and I said, "What's the matter? Are you okay?" And she reached out both of her hands. She said, "Let me touch you." And she reached out her hands and put them both, like, on my head, and, like, cradled my head in her hands, and then brought my head up against her chest, right up against her heart. And she said, "I love you. I love you. I love you so much." And she just held my head right up against her heart for, like, a good, like, 30 seconds. And that's all she said. That's all she said. And then I said, "I love you too. I love you so much." And I gave her a kiss, and, you know, made sure she was comfortable. And, you know, I got up and I left. She died a few hours later. That was one of her last conscious, you know, that was one of the last things she said when she was conscious. And I just remember, as my head was resting up against her chest, I just had this really, really deep, profound feeling that, like, this is Jesus hugging me right now. You know, like, that was Jesus. And, you know, like, that was her way of saying, "Thank you for taking care of me all these years. Thank you for loving me." But really, like, it was Jesus. And I still get the chills whenever I think about it. But those are the kind of, you know, kinds of things that happen with the Little Sisters in their homes. I'm telling you, it's just the graces. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Michaela. That was very beautiful. And it just such a good example of how in our homes, time touches eternity. Really, we are so united with heaven and eternal values, even as we carry out this humble, hidden, joyful work with the poor. So thank you both for sharing. And once again, our podcast is God Calling, Vocation Vibes. This episode is Spring into Service, and I find that title interesting. Spring into Service. It's not just come and serve, but spring into service. And I think about in Scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. He didn't say, let's talk about this, Lord. He got up and followed. He sprang into service. And then in chapter 4, verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. They didn't say, come on, Lord, let's have a meeting about this first. They followed him. They sprang into service. So we thank all of our beautiful young friends for springing into service. And we invite more of you to sign up for the program if you want to find out more about it. You can go to our national website, littlesistersofthepoor.org, to ask specifically for information on it. You can write to Sister Constance, and her address is serenity@littlesistersofthepoor.org. And she will give you the information and help you get signed up if you would like to proceed with that. So thank you both, our guests. Thanks to all the young women who have participated and will participate in our program. And we thank those of you who have listened in and ask you to please, for the sake of the kingdom, to help us to promote this podcast by liking and sharing and following, because that will help vocation awareness. And ultimately, all of service is to open our hearts to the vocation that God has for us, whatever that might be. So we look forward to seeing you next time. We are going to continue in our theme of Catholic Sisters Week and Sisters in Service, and we will have sister stories from Sister Kathleen and Sister Jessica Marie. So be sure and catch that episode when it comes out. And in the meantime, be assured of our prayers and caring for each one of you and for your own journey with Jesus.